case you've been wondering how to pronounce that Vietnamese soup everyone's always going on about, it's officially pho, not pho. Now that we've got that out of the way, I'm Gina Kaufman. On today's Central Standard, we'll be visiting with a Vietnamese restaurateur for a lesson in making the noodles and their tasty broth. Our food critics will join us for a citywide search for the most delectable Asian noodle dishes around. Call in with your recommendations, not just pho, but also ramen, pad thai, lo mein, you name it. That's coming up on Central Standard after this news. Stay with us. That's the sound of rice noodles being pulled out of a giant vat of boiling water at the French-Vietnamese restaurant I Pho Tower. And yes, you might hear a few puns today. Anyhow, restaurant owner Spike Nguyen says he gets his noodles shipped fresh, not dried, from California, and has to use them within 4 days. But he says it's worth it.
Because the texture of noodle gotta be chewy a little bit. People want to slurp the noodle and it's still slurping like a string rather than cut and breaking apart.
Becoming an expert in the qualities of different noodles has been part of Spike Nguyen's quest to recreate the flavors of his youth in Vietnam. I'm Gina Kaufman. On today's Central Standard, we'll be exploring Asian noodles. Our food critics will be with us shortly, but to start out, our producer Sylvia Maria Gross visited Spike at his restaurant on Broadway. Let's go with her there now.
Marcel Proust had his Madeleine, a cookie that brought back a flood of memories, and Spike Nguyen has his pho. He remembers when he was a little kid and the noodle vendor would come around his village on the coast of southern Vietnam.
Our house is the first house of the village. And then so, see, we hit our house first. So we always have the first hit of the noodle in the morning. And that is, believe it or not, our breakfast. You know, we eat the noodle soup for breakfast.
Spike left Vietnam alone at the age of 9 by mistake. As a little boy, he would swim in the ocean and hide on boats. But there was a war going on, and one day he found himself in the middle of a gun battle.
By accident, I get on a boat. Mom and Dad thought I was swimming and drown at sea, and I would somehow get on the boat, and that boat was flee the country.
So he fled, inadvertently, all the way to a refugee camp in the Philippines. After 3 weeks, he managed to send his parents a telegram, and a couple of years later, he was able to join some relatives in Houston, Texas. Spike is now 44. He has yet to go back to Vietnam, but he's been searching ever since for the flavors he left behind.
You always have a good memory, regardless or not. Oh, I remember this. This is so wonderful. You just go pretty much from one restaurant to another restaurant to in search for food.
That's what led Spike Nguyen into cooking and opening restaurants. He moved to Kansas City back in 1996 on an unrelated business venture and ended up running the finance department in a car dealership. And interestingly, he and his wife didn't really connect with the Vietnamese community here until he opened a restaurant on Independence Avenue.
Ever since we had our restaurant over there, we know a whole lot more people than what we used to have known for umpteen years.
Mornings are when most of Spike's Vietnamese customers come by to fill up on pho for breakfast. But he sees his place in the historic Northeast, as well as this new, more upscale French-Vietnamese fusion restaurant on Broadway, attracting people of all backgrounds. He says Vietnamese food is popular right now.
Everyone wanted to eat something light, something healthy. The reason why our cuisine is rated third ethnic food being healthy because we're using broth instead of stir fry. We're using grilled meat for vermicelli and a whole lot of vegetables.
There's many theories on how pho came to be, focusing mostly on the culinary interactions between the Vietnamese and their colonizers, the French. In Spike's version of the origin story, he says the Vietnamese thought of cattle only as beasts of burden.
And even we slaughtered them, it's going to be really tough to be eating. So when the French came over, they saw that, and they say, you guys need to be like the Japanese, you know, need to give the cow a little bit of massage, give them a little bit of champagne, let them listen to Mosey a little bit, and they go show this. They take their oxtail, the short rib, and they braise them up, and embrace some such timely intents, and then they move over and make their bechamel sauce to make their gravy on top of the dish, and then they intend to throw the broth away. And then so the shu chef, which is a Vietnamese, take the broth home and throw some of the noodle in and throw some of the spice in, and the meat is very expensive, so they thin slice their meat and they throw it in. That called the pho nowadays. But nobody can document that story because everybody want to claim to fame. I say I make the best pho ever, but we know that pho came from that era.
And with that, Spike Nguyen takes me into his kitchen to show me some of the key steps in making pho. He has an open kitchen at Ifo Tower on Broadway, which means his custom-designed stainless steel broth brewing equipment is visible from the dining room. Over one of the 160-quart vats, a fragrant broth is boiling so gently you can hardly see the bubbles. Spike says he started it 2 days ago, and he goes through the process, step by step, of making the iconic pho soup of his childhood.
We boil a bone, on knuckle bones, and then we put into here as a very low simmering process. The next day when we process them, we do put the chicken in it also. So to make it a little bit sweeter, blends a little bit of that beef taste into it. And after that we do just all the beef broth and the chicken. So when it's simmer like that already, we grill our onions, huh? And then we grill our ginger. And after that, we wash them. We put them in here so it's had these flavor. Okay. And then these would be maybe 2 hours max. And then you can get the flavor of the ginger and the onions into the soup too. Okay. Very simple to make. It's just a lot of time consuming. And all we add is rock sugar. So we measure a certain amount that we have for this, especially for this side of the pot. And then we add the salt to it. And that is the only ingredient that we have for the pho. And then we had our spices. The spices consist of our star anise, cinnamon, and then clove, and then...
Is that nutmeg?
Yeah, nutmeg. That's it. What we do is we put on the pan and we charge them. So once you charge them like that, you put into kind of like a...
Kind of like a tea ball, like tea one ball. Of those little balls right. That you steep tea
and
in.
And you just dip in there so all the stuff it doesn't go everywhere. And then to assemble, it's very simple process. We had our noodle right here. We have our boiling water. And all we do is take that and soak that in.
That was just like, I don't know, 30 seconds? Was it a minute?
Yeah, 1 minute should be good. And then you put into your bowl. And that's your noodle there. And then so these are already pre-cut from the night before. We have the raw steak. We have the brisket, we have the meatball, we have the chicken, we have the tendon, we have the tripe, and we also have the seafood. Whichever people prefer want to eat, whether it's steak and brisket, meatball, tendon, and tripe, doesn't matter which however they want, we just put it on it and then pour the broth on top. Believe it or not, we sold a whole lot of vegetarian pho over here. Somehow people love just the broth. And all the veggie. They don't care much about the meat. So they asked us to carry a whole lot of more vegetables. And then so we take that and we soak it and we put the broth on it. And that's...
Is that sort of an American addition? Or
yes, that is an American addition. To us here, we are catered to our customer. However they want to eat, there is no right way or wrong way to eat their food.
That was Spike Nguyen of Ifa Tower, a Vietnamese-French restaurant that has two locations, one at 36th and Broadway, another on Independence Avenue. That noodle reconnaissance was brought to us by our producer, Sylvia Maria Gross. We'll be right back with our food critics after a short break. Call 816-235-2255. 1-800-273-2888 to join the conversation about Asian noodle dishes. Are you on a quest for a faraway noodle you haven't been able to find in Kansas City? Maybe we can help. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. Back in the studio, I'm Gina Kaufman, here with the food critics who will be leading our search for the best Asian noodle dishes in town. That includes pho, but is by no means limited to pho. Call 816-235-2888. Tell us where you like to go and what you like to order, and don't be afraid to describe your favorite noodle dish in mouth-watering detail down to the last ingredient. Lunchtime isn't too far off, so we can handle it. The number again is 816-235-2888. 2888. Food critics, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Charles Ferruza with The Pitch and The Pitch's website. There's a fast pitch portion of that, and that has dining stuff.
And I'm Mary Block at AroundTheBlockKC.com, and I write the occasional story for the Kansas City Star.
I'm Jen Chen from The Pitch. I write the food newsletter, and I contribute to the food section.
Okay, guys, so we just heard about pho. There are, of course, all kinds of Asian noodle dishes that people might be calling in to talk about. But let's start with pho. Charles, what are your thoughts on pho, and where do you like to go to get it?
Well, it's sort of a soupy dish, and so it's very, very comforting. It's my favorite dish to have when I have a cold, sort of like I have now. And because it's, you know, between the ginger and if you do what I do, which is to put some chili sauce in it, I'm telling you, it is the ultimate cure-all. Would you say so too, Jen? I mean,
definitely. Yeah. I mean, with the broth and everything, and I think we're entering the perfect time of year for a nice, big, soupy, hearty meal.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it covers all the bases. It's mm-hmm. It's soupy. You can have some meatballs in it. You can have those wonderful noodles. And it's really not a very expensive dish.
There are a lot of Vietnamese restaurants in town. I mean, I think that out-of-towners, when they come to visit, have been surprised to notice that Kansas City is kind of a hotbed of Vietnamese restaurants. What are some of the other Vietnamese noodle dishes that people might try? And let's talk about some of the places they can go to get it. Mary?
Well, the Vietnam Cafe in Columbus Park at 5th and Campbell is a kind of an institution.
It's people an icon, going there. Yeah.
And they've got pho and other noodle dishes as well.
What are some of the other noodle dishes people might try at a Vietnamese restaurant?
Well, it's not necessarily Vietnamese, but there's a place called Cafe V at 103rd and Metcalf, and they serve not only Vietnamese food, like pho and other Vietnamese dishes, but Korean food, and they also serve udon noodles, which is Japanese. And
where is this again?
It's at 103rd and Metcalf.
It's sort of a French coffee shop with really, really good food.
Yes, yes. And it's nice, casual. They have great desserts, too, coffee dishes, coffee drinks.
What have you ordered there?
Actually, I went there yesterday, and I got a pho, chicken pho, and it was fantastic, just very big and hearty. And
lots nice. Of fresh ingredients in
fresh
there?
Fresh ingredients, topped with cilantro and bean sprouts. It was very nice.
I love that place.
Yeah.
Charles, what do you like about it?
Well, of course, they have great pastries, which is, you know, always my, you know, go-to thing. But the pho that they have there is very comforting, and it's a very relaxed place. It doesn't feel like a restaurant at all. It feels like, I don't know, like you're in somebody's rec room.
Right.
And then there's ramen, which is kind of the Japanese equivalent of pho.
And that's becoming really popular. We're seeing that added to menus in a lot of places. I think associations with ramen kind of had been the
college dish.
Yeah, buy it, toss it in there, maybe crack an egg if you're feeling fancy. But it's really been elevated lately.
It has. And Voltaire just put it on their new brunch menu.
Voltaire located where?
In the West Bottoms.
On Genesee. Mm-hmm.
Have you tried that?
I haven't, but I've heard good things about it.
See, I ate too many ramen dishes when I was a poor college student. I can't eat it anymore. I don't care how good it is.
Jen, do you have ramen feelings?
I do have ramen feelings. I heard there's a place in Lawrence that I haven't been to called Ramen Bowls, but I've heard nothing but great things about
really?
It, and I'm dying to go and
Where is that?
I think it's on Massachusetts, I believe, or off of Massachusetts.
Ramen Bowl?
Ramen Bowls.
Bowls?
Maybe.
Oh, sounds good.
As in multiple.
Let's talk a little bit generally about
Asian noodle eating etiquette, because this is something that interests me. When you're eating Italian noodles, you swirl them on your fork, maybe put a little spoon up against it to prevent slippage. When I have heard that when eating Asian noodle dishes, this is not necessary. But I don't know if there is noodle eating etiquette.
Well, Jen, you know how to handle chopsticks, where I do not. And we've been to meals where I've just sat and watched Jen, because I'm inept with chopsticks. So I still do the Italian method, even on Asian noodles. But I don't think that you know, is that frowned upon?
I don't think so. I mean, I use a fork, really, and I use that kind of nice Asian-type deep spoon to
get the broth.
Get the broth and then scoop up the noodles that way, too.
I just like to use chopsticks and then slurp up what I didn't get as cleanly.
I believe slurping is encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also picking up the bowl to drinking the broth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know exactly what Asian etiquette would be, but, you know, I don't care.
Can I ask about a noodle dish that I have not had in Kansas City, but I've had it elsewhere, and I don't know if it's served anywhere in Kansas City. So this is I'm going to be a caller right now because this is my question. It's called thukpa or thukpa. I'm not sure which way you pronounce that, but it's a Himalayan. It's from Tibet and Nepal, and it's sort of like pho in some ways, thicker noodles, egg noodles, I think, and it's got, you know, vegetables, meats, things like that. But also there was a taste in it that I hadn't been able to identify. I tried this on a vacation.
How is it spelled?
T-H-U-K-P-A. And when I looked up recipes, it turns out there's a little bit of yogurt in it, which I think is what made it taste a little different from
those
dishes.
I bet it's in the Himalayas. It's yak yogurt.
I bet so, too. But I was sadly not in the Himalayas. This was not that exotic of a vacation. But, anyway, maybe – so no one here has found that in a Kansas City restaurant.
No, but I would love to try it if someone is making it, though.
Yeah. It was great. Well, we have a couple of callers, so maybe we'll go to them and get back to our recommendations here in the studio in a second. Let's talk to Gayla in Kansas City.
Hi, this is Gayla. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know, you just mentioned ramen bowls, and it's on 10th in Massachusetts. If you're heading down Lawrence, I guess East Lawrence, turn right on 10th, and it's right on your right. We went last Sunday night, and it blew us away. It is amazing what they've done. It's a blend of Japanese and a little bit of Korean and a little bit of Thai, and it's spectacular.
What did you have there?
I think everything is a bowl. I think there's probably dishes you could get. I have no clue, but my daughter, my husband, and I got each different bowls. Both mine and my husband came with pork belly, and it's not what you would think of pork belly. It's cooked well done. It's chewy. It's flavorful. I'm not a gourmet, so I can't describe it, but there's different soups on the menu, tons of soups, ramen soups, and you can choose the variety of seasonings and spices. Some are quite hot, and some can be quite mellow.
Thank you so much for calling. So that's Ramen Bowls, which is on 10th and Mass Street in Lawrence. Pork belly is a pretty popular item in general and on high-end menus. Pork belly ramen, is that a surprising combo to anyone?
I don't think so.
It sounds good. I would like to have it.
Instead of just like the regular slices of pork, but it would probably
add a little smoky taste.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. salty.
Yeah. So we've talked about a few different kinds of noodle dishes. Before we abandon Vietnamese noodle dishes, we haven't talked about bun or bún. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing these things correctly, but the room temperature noodle dish. Anyone have a favorite place to get that item?
Bún, you mean?
Yeah.
Vietnam Cafe has mm-hmm. the best, I think, at 5th and Columbus. It's really spectacular. I also like the bún at the Vietnam restaurant, I think it's called Vietnam Cafe as well, on 39th.
Right near KU.
Yeah, it's really good too.
What makes it good? What makes it stand out to you?
Well, it's just spicy enough, although you can tart it up however you want. And it's another very soothing dish, you know, that if you're having a bad day, it's a good go-to dish.
That one's got fish sauce as right. part of it. How does that affect the flavor and consistency of
the noodles? Well, it makes it a little bit saltier, but I think that adds a lot to it. I'm somebody who likes a salty, component.
It's not overly fishy, is it?
No, not at all.
Right.
Let's turn to another caller. 816-235-2888 is the number to call to join this conversation about Asian noodle dishes. Let's talk to Becky in Overland Park. Hi, Becky.
Hi. Listen, I'm so excited to hear somebody talk about tupa noodles.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, anyway, Zen Zero on Mass in Lawrence has a tupa noodle dish, and it is excellent.
Do they? Okay.
Kind of spicy. Yeah, it's a little spicy, but I think they can adjust that to whatever you prefer.
Now, is it a dish that has meat in it traditionally?
You can. I don't know about traditional. I just know how they serve it there. Actually, my brother-in-law owns that restaurant, and he was the one that introduced me to the dish.
I like that restaurant a lot.
I do
actually.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Becky. Do you have any other noodle tips for us before we let you go?
You know, tupa is my favorite, so that was my main suggestion.
Okay, so that's Zen Zero in Lawrence, also on Mass Street. It's starting to sound like Lawrence is quite a place to go for Asian noodle dishes. Does that surprise anyone in this studio?
It's becoming a real restaurant destination anyway.
They have such great variety, restaurants out there.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. I love going to Lawrence.
The quintessential college town.
Jen, before we go back to our callers again, I hear that you have some insight into getting your hands on Asian noodles to create dishes at home that maybe you can't find in a restaurant.
Well, I have heard that the Oriental Supermarket at 103rd and Metcalf and 888 sell Sun Noodle ramen, which Sun Noodle is, they supply a lot of the ramen restaurants in the country. So you can buy it frozen there. They're kind of in kits. So I guess from what I understand, the sauce is a paste that you add water to and just mix it with the ramen, and you could add whatever you want, eggs, meat, vegetables, and that might be a good quick fix for someone if you're looking for a ramen.
There was a story, I think, in the New York Magazine this week about Whole Foods, and I can't attest to whether the local Whole Foods stores, but Whole Foods are carrying a couple of Sun Noodle ramen kits. So, in fact, New York Magazine did a test and had college students prepare it and eat it. None of them liked them. So, I don't know.
Well, college students aside, what would most people consider, people outside that eat to live age group, what would most people consider to be the advantage to having a kit as opposed to the, really quick and dirty in a plastic wrapper kind of ramen?
Well, I think the noodles are fresher for one thing.
Oh, yes, much so.
It's not the crunchy kind of dehydrated blah kind of noodles.
Well, and the seasonings that come with those, cheap ramen kits, they're high, high, high in sodium, which, when you're a college student, care about. But I don't think they're very tasty. I always have to – well, I don't make it anymore, but when I did, I always had to tart it up with something because, they just tasted like the stuff my mother used to throw into a bowl, which is horrible. So, brothy.
You guys, I pulled up from the website SeriousEats.com a list of Asian noodles, and it was very long, and many of them I had never heard of. But I wanted to bring up a couple that I had heard of that I think our listeners will have heard of, too, that we haven't talked about yet. I'm just going to name a couple to kind of inspire us here. We've got lo mein. We've got...
which is probably the best-known Asian noodle dish ever.
Yeah, I mean, at a time, I think it was maybe the only one people really knew about here in the United States. Certainly in Kansas City, I would say.
Well, it's as close to spaghetti as any Chinese restaurant can have.
And then we've got, let's see, chow fun. We've got wonton noodles, soba noodles.
Soba are Japanese noodles.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Do you have mee goreng?
Let's see.
M-E-E-G-O-R-E-N-G.
No, we can add that to our list. So
that's a Malaysian noodle dish.
Yum. Where can you get that in Kansas City?
Oh, I know you used to be able to get it at Bowling's because they were expanding their menu. There's not that many restaurants.
Malay Cafe.
Malay Cafe would have it.
And that's north of the river.
Yes. Yeah. It's good, too. I can't think of anyone else who's serving that dish. it's worth a schlep to the Malay Cafe mm-hmm. for it.
Let's talk to Ron in Smithville. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry this isn't a noodle question, but it's a Vietnamese food question I've been wondering about for a couple of years. There used to be a restaurant, Pho 97, and they're closed. I think the store next door burned or something like that. And I don't think they ever reopened, but they used to have an appetizer that was made of shredded papaya, and they'd put some narrow strips of jerky on it. I think it was beef. It was in its own kind of little broth, and they put some of the red chili sauce on it, and then a spoon of that kind of clear, sweet liquid. And it just was the most amazing appetizer, and I have never seen it anywhere else, and they're gone.
Charles,
have you guys ever seen anything like that at a Vietnamese place? Or?
I used to go there a lot, Pho 97, before it burned down. And I'm trying to think. There was another Vietnamese restaurant on Independence Avenue that was doing a lot of the same dishes. I can't remember if it's still open or not. But I'll bet one of the callers will call in, because I remember I had that dish and it was very good.
And since there are narrow strips of things, and noodles themselves are narrow strips of things, we will permit, today only, the divergence from our theme, if someone knows where to get that particular item. But let's get back to noodles. We have a few callers, and I just have one other of my own questions about noodles, which is with the Asian noodle dishes, between Italian and Asian noodles, I've heard that there is a bit of an anthropological quest to figure out where noodles originated. And in fact, people digging up, excavating older and older tools that demonstrate that noodles were being made.
Well, you did hear about what they found in 2005.
I remember something around that time, but Charles, tell us about it.
They found in China, in northeastern China in 2005, archaeologists found a bowl that was upside down, and when they lifted the bowl up, there was a coil of dry noodles that had been preserved for 4,000 years. I don't know if they ate them or not, but and that effectively settled the score about whether the Chinese, Italians, or Arabs had found who had first created the first noodles. Because there is some debate.
So you don't think that it could happen that someday an even older preserved pot of noodles will be found elsewhere?
I think in Grandview.
All right. Okay, back to our callers. I'm sorry I'm getting carried away here, but it's really interesting stuff. Okay, Dave and Lawrence, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great. How about you?
Doing excellent. You mentioned earlier you were looking for a place in the area that served thukpa?
Indeed.
Yes, Zen Zero in Lawrence. Huh.
We have heard this. Now, have you tried it there?
I've had several times.
Tell us about it in detail. We want every detail you can bring to life.
It's been a while since I've had it there. I have kids, so I don't get to go out to eat so often anymore. So, but, you know, it's just a nice, rich, hearty broth soup, cabbage, flavors of curry, just a real nice, hearty soup on a nice, cold day like today.
If I remember right from the one time I've had this dish, it is a broth that is not quite creamy, but it's a little thicker than a clear broth. It's kind of just slightly thicker.
Is that because of the yogurt?
Probably.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's a little thicker than your regular broth-based soup. But it's worth the drive to Lawrence to have, and they've got a lot of other wonderful noodle dishes on the menu, too, so...
So another shout-out for Zen Zero in Lawrence. That's on Mass Street. Let's talk to Nancy in Kansas City. Hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I have been listening to the show and very interested, and I just wanted to say the restaurant on 39th Street that you all were talking about is one of my favorites for Bon, and it's actually called Saigon 39.
Oh, there are multiple restaurants on 39th Street.
I was thinking the one that's at the very, very end of 39th Street, across the street from the KU Med Center. That's, I think, called...
In Kansas.
Okay, okay. The one I'm talking about is a little further away, I guess.
But anyway, we do need to give a shout-out to Saigon 39. Yeah. It's a classic.
Nancy, what do you like about Saigon 39?
I do order the banh myself, and I love their spring rolls, too, with the peanut sauce.
Tell us about the bun dish at Saigon 39. What do they do something unique there that really appeals to you, or is it just the classic in your mind?
Just the classic. I'm not sure that there's anything unique about it, but I've always enjoyed it. I think it's really good.
All right, so that's Saigon 39 at 39th and Bell Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Let's see what Dan in Overland Park wants to add. Hi, Dan.
Hi, it's Dan. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
It's just funny because yesterday we went to lunch and we went to this place relatively close to work on Shawnee, and I think Neiman is called Pho Good.
Pho Good?
They had, yeah, and it's pretty good. Actually, I'm Vietnamese, so I'm kind of learning a lot of this stuff from memory from growing up and having it. And what I would like to add is about actually home cooking, because I tried to make this 10 years ago, and, well, a couple of times. So the second time was a lot better than the first time. The first time was kind of experimental.
That happens.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that there's a lot of quality ingredient you put in when you make them from scratch. So there's like star anise, which is really good for cold and flu. And that's why the broth is so good for that this kind of weather where it's, you know, like warming. And I've been listening to the program since you guys had it, and we were talking about pho and all that stuff. And the broth is just fantastic for cold nights and cold weather.
Okay, so you said you did this twice, and the second time was a lot better than the first. So I wonder if you can help our listeners who might try this at home not make some of the mistakes you made the first time. What made that second batch better? Can you take our listeners to step two before they start?
Sure. You kind of have to be patient, and it almost like when you cook the when you boil the bone. Put half amount of liquid in there just to cover the bone for about 5 minutes, and then you pour that out because then the impurity from the bone gets washed out. And then you put the bones back in, and then, you know, fill the pot. I think I buy about $15 worth of bones, and I can make like about a 5 gallon pot. So that which would probably last a week. But then you fill it to the top, and you boil that for about 6 to 8 hours, and then you add all the ingredients in slowly. And there's ginger and onions, and those two things you have to kind of flame first. I don't know what you call it, but you flame it so that the flavor comes out, and then you put that in, and then you add all your extra ingredients. And the good thing is that my wife does it now, and, you know, so I don't have to experiment with it. And she buys this prepackaged herbs that includes all the, you know, the ground up flavor and everything like that, and you kind of put that in as you boil it.
Well, that is helpful to get the herbs all packaged there together. Thank you so much, Dan. That was really helpful. I wonder if our critics have advice. When you hear so much about the process, Charles, I've actually read in some of your pitch articles that you have some advice when it comes to ordering pho in particular, like when to order it, how to order it, when you can know it'll be really good.
Well, I'll tell you my number one tip for that. You always take somebody who knows a lot more than you do and make them do the ordering, like Jen Chen.
Central Standard's going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get more of your calls at 816-235-2888. We're talking about Asian noodle dishes, not just the ones that have already come up. If there's a dish that you love that's got Asian noodles in it, we want to hear about it. 816-235-2888. Central Standard will be right back. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, here with the food critics who will reintroduce themselves in just a second. We're talking about Asian noodles. We've touched extensively on Vietnamese noodles and a little bit on Chinese noodles. probably disproportionately on thukpa because I happen to have an obsession with it. And so we want to branch out a little bit. We'll talk about Thai maybe and other nationalities, maybe Japanese noodles.
No, we haven't talked about pad thai yet. You're right.
Yeah.
So we'll be getting to that in a second. But critics, please reintroduce yourselves.
Charles Ferruza with The Pitch.
Mary Block, AroundTheBlockKC.com.
Jen Chen from The Pitch.
And Charles, before we move forward, you wanted to briefly address some restaurant news that couldn't go unacknowledged.
I know. It's sad news, too, that one of my very, very favorite and iconic barbecue places in Kansas City, Kansas, Quick's Barbecue on Miriam Lane, is going to close on November 14th. And so, you know, I'll tell you, you will see me there several times before November 14th, if only to get the spiral-cut hot dog.
Well, so for our listeners who love that place, there's a week to get your fill.
Right, of Quick's Barbecue. It's, you know, legendary, 50 years.
So we're going to have, well, not a moment of actual silence because that would be weird, but theoretical.
But, I just thought of a dish that I might try to invent for myself. I was thinking about Quick's and thinking that I'd like to get some burnt ends, take them home, mix them up with some, you know, cellophane noodles, some Asian cellophane noodles.
Yum.
Put a little fresh cilantro and lime juice, and I think that'd be a good fusion dish for me.
I think so, and thank you for that nice segue right back to noodles. Do any of our critics have an Asian noodle recommendation that hasn't come up yet that you really want to be sure we get in here before we turn back to our callers? Because we've got a full switchboard, but I want to give you guys the opportunity to share everything you wanted to.
I think pad thai. I mean, we haven't talked about that at all.
Where
it's
do you go
a,
for
it, It's such
it,
a great
Mary?
Combination of salty and sweet.
I agree, and spice. I love the Thai place in Westport, and my sons live in New York and D.C., and they still think that this is the best that they have ever had.
They're at the Thai place in Westport,
yep.
It is?
And if you go on Tuesdays, you can get two for the price of one.
What do they do in their pad Thai that you think is so magical?
Lots of meat.
Yeah, but it's the sauce.
It has to taste fresh.
Yeah,
it has
and it's
to taste
really,
fresh.
It is really fresh tasting. It's a plentiful portion. It is fresh, and it's just better.
it's just better. That's a good enough reason for me. Jen, anything you wanted to get in here that hasn't come up yet?
Two quick things. I have not been here, but I heard Iron Horse in Olathe, which is a Chinese restaurant, I believe, make their own noodles. So I think that sounds great. It's one of those things where you see the guy with an armful of noodles stretching them out. So I think that sounds
the
really
handmade pulled noodles.
Mm-hmm, right.
What's the name and location of that restaurant again?
Iron Horse in Olathe.
It's at on East Old 56 Highway.
Wow. Okay. Is there anywhere else in town that has an Asian restaurant that has house-made noodles?
Doesn't Bowling's do them for some dishes?
I think so. And in fact, they have a noodle bar, Gina, where you can pick ramen, udon, soba, or rice noodles.
We should clarify that. Only the Plaza location has that.
Yeah. Good point. And then you can pick your protein and your broth, whether you want beef or chicken or vegetarian, and kind of make your own.
So, soup. Jen, you had one other recommendation you wanted to make.
Oh, right. I've been kind of trying to find this Taiwanese noodle dish. It's basically, I mean, you see it on Chinese buffets. It's basically a short, really thin noodle that's stir-fried with meat and vegetables. And there's a place, 119th and Metcalf, called Joy Wok, which is a big buffet place. But they have a pretty decent version, I think. So.
And you could have it with Jell-O cubes and chocolate pudding.
Of course, yeah. Why not?
Charles, do you have a recommendation that hasn't come up yet?
Well, I wanted to throw in also that pad thai is one of my very, very favorite Asian noodle dishes. I love the fact that it is salty, sweet, spicy, and it has crushed peanuts on top. Mm-hmm. So it really hits all of the qualifications for a dish that when you don't feel well, it's the dish that makes you feel a lot better.
A comfort food.
Yeah, a true comfort food.
Let's talk to Bob in Wyandotte. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Love you guys. Love your show. There is a Thai place on 87th Street in Overland Park, I believe, kind of where it's almost Santa Fe. It's on the south side of the road in the strip mall. And it's either Thai Palace or Thai Place. Been there several times.
Does anyone here know which it is?
Yeah, it's the original Thai place, the very first Thai place restaurant in the metro.
Okay, carry on, Bob.
I just thought you guys would want to know about it. I'm a chef for a living, and anytime I get a chance to sneak away, that's one of my favorite places to go. So.
And what do you order there?
I've had three or four different noodle dishes there. Usually whatever's on special I will get.
Okay.
Their pad thai is excellent there.
So Bob recommends everything, it sounds like, at the original Thai place there on Santa Fe and 87.
We would be remiss not to mention another place that's on 119th Street, Hot Basil. Mm-hmm. It's a great Thai restaurant, wonderful fresh-tasting pad thai, and a lot of other really, really good things.
And the chef, an owner, used to be a chef at the Thai place,
right.
So it's very similar.
And it's called Hot Basil?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very sexy cuisine.
Yeah.
Is it as hot in spice level or temperature as the name would imply?
As you want it to be.
That's what I like about Thai food. Chinese, too, but they let you pick your spice level.
Right, right.
Let's turn to Gary in South Kansas City. Hi, Gary.
Hi, folks. Hey, I'm down here. I'm kind of a cowboy rancher. I'm south about an hour. Live in South Dakota, and I hang out down here in the winter. But I love Vietnamese food, and Bun Ba Wei is my favorite. It's kind of an ethnic of the Sichuan province. And when I go to the river market, now I don't know Kansas City very well, but east of the river market is the place I always go. There's a couple places, plus there's a grocery store that serves it.
There's a what store?
There's a grocery store east of the river market.
Okay.
Is that the Oriental Market you're talking? No, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the place in the old Jenny's,
right? Yeah, yes. Right. That brick building.
It's huge,
yeah.
And they have everything.
Yeah.
And I can pull in there with my horse trailer, see, and I can go in and eat. But there's a very nice place. It's always packed. About two blocks east of that market.
Oh, yeah. It's I think it's called Kim's. I'm sure it is. I think it's called Kim's.
Right at the outskirts of Columbus Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you like to go?
I like Bun Ba Wei and Bun Chit Noon, which is dry vermicelli. And then if I go to a Thai restaurant, I like Luk Chin. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Luk Chin.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, you've got us sold on the pronunciation. you seem to be really fond of these Vietnamese noodle dishes.
Absolutely. You know, my Vietnamese friends who got me into it from Frisco, they'd tell me, you know, eat noodle, Gary, look like noodle. So I believe in it.
That hasn't worked for me, I'm sorry to say.
But you ride in on your horse.
I'm right here next to the best damn Palomino pony in the West. I raised him out of 8 mares and 3 stallions.
Well, congratulations. Thank you so much for that call, Gary.
Gina, that may be another future show for you. Horses.
Well, yeah. let's talk to Louise in Grandview. Hi, Louise.
Good morning. If you want to do some noodles for yourself, Costco sells a box of, it's called yakisoba noodles. They microwave in 3 minutes. They are filled with some precious vegetables. There's broccoli and snow peas and Chinese cabbage bok choy. And what I do, since I live alone, is I take the, like, 31 to 45 count shrimp, put some lemon juice on that, throw it in the microwave for 2 minutes, let that sit, microwave the yakisoba for 3 minutes, put the shrimp on top, and it is fantastic.
Now,
it is so fresh. It's to be unreal.
Well, far be it for me to question any listener's cooking recommendations, but noodles in the microwave seems like like, there are some bad things that can happen with that proposition. And
I've never cooked noodles. Have you, Mary, in a microwave?
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm.
So. This raises, though, that carry out of these Asian noodle dishes, particularly the pho or any other dish that's in a broth, is a delicate matter. And, in fact, one of our coworkers here at KCUR is very fond of carry out pho and has talked about the order in which you must heat the different items if you're going to reheat things upon coming home and how important the presentation is of these dishes because there are fresh, uncooked ingredients paired with a very hot dish. Does anyone here have strong feelings about presentation or temperature issues with these kinds of dishes?
I just carry out Chinese noodles. I have never done the pho before.
You know, my theory on presentation is the best presentation you could ever have is when someone does it for you in a restaurant.
Rather than taking it home.
I do not take it home, no.
I took home some pho, and, you know, I just kind of put it in a bowl and microwaved it to reheat it. So I'm not really picky about that. I mean, it's things like that. It's comfort food, so yeah. It doesn't really matter for me how it looks.
But that reminds me of talk about comfort. I've had it for 30 years, and it's a go-to for me is the Szechuan noodles at Prince's Garden at 89th and Warnell. And I don't know.
What kind of noodles do they use?
It's a...
like a lo mein noodle?
It is similar to a lo mein noodle, and it's got a garlic sauce and chicken and beef and shrimp and spicy as you want it.
And that's Princess Garden?
At 89th and Warnell. My kids grew up on that dish.
Let's talk to Jared in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Jared.
Good morning, panel. I just want to know if anyone knew a good place to get either fresh or vacuum-sealed ramen noodles. I can find udon noodles all over, but not any ramen noodles.
Anyone have an idea?
I would bet that 888 grocery store in Overland Park.
Or the Oriental Market at the city at City Market, or, you know, there's the new ramen noodle kits at Whole Foods.
In the frozen section for 888 and Oriental Market.
Okay.
Yeah. But Jared,
yeah, before you...
Before you go, do you eat Japanese noodle dishes out in restaurants in Kansas City or around Kansas City?
Actually, yes. We went to Lawrence, and the ramen shop or ramen bowls there has a delicious ramen, so we're kind of hooked on that lately.
We are hearing a lot of praise for that.
Every week. Yeah, it's a great place. You guys should all try it.
Thank you.
We also haven't talked about Zama on Westport Road, and they have noodle dishes and a ramen bowl.
Zama, I haven't heard about that. Tell us about it, Mary.
Well, the woman started out in...
Erica Koike?
Yeah, Overland Park.
And what was it called? But it was sort of like a Japanese appetizer thing that they were famous for their
one
pancake.
Bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
one bite. That's right.
And Samazama is on Westport Road. It's a little tiny place, but the food is really good. Lots of intense flavors, and I think someone's going to have to call and find out the details. But I think don't they have one night they have a special noodle special?
Yes,
Wednesdays,
Wednesday night, and they also make their own sauces and bottle them, which you can buy in the grocery stores.
Wow. Okay, learn something new every day. Name and location of that restaurant again?
Samazama, two words. And
it's just west of Westport Cafe on Westport Road.
We had a caller who wasn't able to stay on the line. She was in a hurry, but she wanted to call in from Lee's Summit to tell us about two places she really loves. Malay Cafe on Northwest Berry Road, which we've talked about a little bit, but also Sweet Siam in Lenexa, which I have never heard
great.
Of.
Oh, it's great. I love Sweet Siam. It's on Quivira, I believe, and it has a wonderful selection of Thai dishes, great noodle dishes, and great desserts, if I remember. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great Thai restaurants in the Kansas City metro, but it's a good place to go. I had some really good noodle dishes there.
Wonderful. Speaking of... We have gotten to Lawrence. We've gotten to
Lenexa.
Are there any other suburban noodle joints that we haven't hit on? People maybe who live a little further outside the city and might be looking for something close by.
On the Northland there's Tasty Thai, and there's also, I believe, in that same complex. I can tell you it's you get off on, I think, 72nd Street, or is it? Don't go by me for directions anywhere. But you take it 29, you get off on one of those exits. There's Tasty Thai, which is really good Thai food, and there's a brand new pho restaurant in that same complex.
And there's also Thai Orchid in Mission.
Love it. Yeah,
that's been around for a pretty long time.
It has.
What do you recommend there, Mary?
Pad Thai.
lots of praise for Pad Thai in general in this studio, yeah. I think. Let's turn to Christy in the South Plaza. Hi, Christy.
Hello. When you mentioned about the 4,000-year-old noodle, that reminded me of a
go
book
on.
About a book I had read about the history of the noodle. It's called On the Noodle Road, and I don't know the author's name. I don't remember, but she lived in Beijing, And she took a trip from Beijing to Italy and researched all about noodles.
Was she following the Marco Polo trail?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so she went through Iraq and Iran and learned from cooks and cooked all sorts of things. And it's very interesting. If you're that interested in noodles, it's a good book.
Well, thanks so much, Christy. We have
You're welcome.
Just seconds left, but I wonder if Clayton and Brookside can make a quick recommendation very quickly.
Sure. I was just going to say that Cafe Gratitude has a Thai-inspired dish that is called I'm Terrific, and it actually is terrific.
It actually is terrific. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, thanks so much. Has anyone else here tried those noodle dishes at Cafe Gratitude on Southwest Boulevard?
I'm afraid not. I tried one that had a sesame peanut sauce. I don't know if that was it or not.
I'm afraid not would be another great dish type. That's all the time we have for this tasty noodle conversation. Food critics, I've loved having you here today. Charles Ferruza, as always, the pleasure is mine.
Thank you, Gina.
And Mary Block, thanks so much for all your ideas and observations.
Thank you, Gina.
Jen Chen, glad you were able to join our crew this morning.
Thanks so much.
To get the list of recommendations, go to kcur.org/centralstandard later today. On Monday at 10, tune in for a Veterans Day special. Then on Tuesday, Central Standard will return with a show on writing that novel you've always meant to share with the world. You, the novelist, that's Tuesday. Central Standard is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross and Matthew Long Middleton, with lots of help from Patrick Quick and Matt Hodapp. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs right here in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend, everyone, and stick around for Up to Date next.